Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of this congregation, I'd like to welcome you all here. For those of you who are joining us by live stream, my name is Andy Burr and I am the interim pastor here. First Church in Natick is an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, an identity of which we are very proud. And so everybody is welcome here regardless of how they think of themselves. Whatever gender identity or gender expression, whatever one's orientation, whatever one's life choices, you're welcome here. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. In that vein, I'd like to welcome, oh man, I'm going to mess up the name, Ian Meverock, joining us this morning, who will give the talk entitled Environmental Discipleship. A couple other announcements. I would like to thank all the worship leaders and all the technology people and the musicians and everybody else who's making this morning's worship possible. I would invite you, in keeping with our wide welcome and generous hospitality, and plead with you for everybody, Jeff Clausen, this means you too, to wear your name tags, even if you think everybody knows who you are, because I probably don't. And it's worse or more challenging with masks on. With regard to masks, the coordinating council has changed the policy so that people are welcome to wear masks or not as they so choose. And please be respectful of others within the congregation who are either wearing one or who choose not to, and the physical space that people are keeping. A bit later on in our worship service, we will be lighting the Christ candle. So for those, again, who are joining us virtually, please gather a candle together and something to light it with so that you can join in on that. Prayer requests that won't be gathered here in the congregation can be submitted to prayers at firstchurchnatick.org or texted to me on my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250. And again, for those in the congregation, they can be written on a slip of paper and given to an usher. I invite you to join us following worship for a coffee hour or coffee portion of an hour, excuse me, and there is a way to participate virtually through the wonders of Zoom and the ministry of Sarah Lynn, neither of which I particularly understand. There is a memorial service for David McKinney, the spouse of Jason Garland, and that will be at 11 o'clock on May 14th, and it will be the entire thing. The service and the food event will be held downstairs in the vestry. You'll notice, or will notice very soon, that the words to the Lord's Prayer have been changed to an alternate understanding, as have the words to the doxology. And I just heard somebody say this morning that while the change in words were jarring, it made them think about what was actually being said in the prayer. So that's for Lent, and I'm glad that it's making people think. You'll notice around the sanctuary that there are six devotion stations in order to support the soul sabbatical, which is based on Matthew 25, and each one of the stations is a section of that. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, gave me clothing. Sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me. It's time for the lighting of the Christ candle. And we do that to remember, to invoke Jesus' presence in our worship. We do it to remind us that Jesus is indeed the light of the world, and we do it, among the many other things, to remind us that we are called to spread that light through the world. Carolyn is just about to lead us in the call to celebration, and you'll notice that there's an exclamation point after the people's response. So respond with gusto, like you actually believe it.
Good morning. Please join me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God called forth light from the darkness. God said,
"It is good."
In the beginning, God created the clouds and rain and air that we breathe. God said, "It is good." In the beginning, God created the earth and all the water upon the earth and all plants and vegetation. God said, "It is good." In the beginning, God created the moon and the stars and the sun to mark our days and nights and tides. God said, "It is good." In the beginning, God created the birds of the air and the creatures of the sea, blessing them. God said, "It is good." In the beginning, God created all of the animals on the earth, including us human beings, and God bless them and us. God said, "It is good." From the beginning, God has called us to care for all of creation, to bless it, to help the earth bring forth life, to keep our water and air clean so that the life can continue to thrive. Let us fulfill God's call to keep creation good, to bless and grow. Let us worship our Creator God.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God, you are love. You formed us in our mother's womb and brought us to this hour. Join us together in a fellowship of love, compassion, and justice, rejoicing with those who are honored, suffering with those who have lost so much. May the gifts you have given us be activated for the good of all people and all creation. Embrace us in your creating, redeeming love. May we live what you have made us to be, your eyes that see what you see, your ears that hear what you hear, your feet that carry us to places most in need, your hands that work for healing, justice, and reconciliation, and hearts on fire with your love for each blessed person and each creature you have made. Amen. And continuing, the world and all, please join me, the world and all that is in it belongs to God, and we have been charged with its care. Sometimes we have faithfully cared for the earth, and sometimes we have neglected its care or even contributed to its abuse. Let's share with God and each other where we have fallen short. Let us pray. Loving God, we confess that all too often we have ignored and denied you are the creator of the land entrusted to us by assuming the right to do with as we please, by taking more from it than we have returned to, by taking for granted its productivity, by denying justice to many who have labored on the land, by wanting food for less than it costs to produce. We confess that material values, rather than discipleship realities, have often determined our relationship with your creation. We have been more interested in our neighbor's land than in our neighbor. We have harbored bitterness and resentments because of economic problems. Creator and creating God, restore us to you and your holy creation. It is God's will that all creation be redeemed. We believe that God will provide for that redemption. As we acknowledge our misuse of creation, we commit to being a part of God's plan for the health and well-being of this world. God has promised that those who truly repent will be forgiven. Children of God, you can be assured of your pardon.
One of the reasons that we light the Christ candle is to remind us of Christ's presence and Christ's peace. So in his name, let us greet each other with a sign of peace in a way that makes you feel comfortable. May the peace of Christ be with you. It was the Apostle Paul, Sarah Lynn is waving, hailing people over there. So if there are kids that are going to godly play, please head in that direction. You might remember the words of the Apostle Paul. It was he who said, it's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. At one time, your surplus may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit. Let's remember that Paul wasn't just speaking of money, I don't think. He could have been speaking about the environment. He could be speaking about wisdom or wealth or anything, any of the possessions that we might have and that we think are ours. Remembering Paul's words and the intent behind them, let us continue to worship God with our offerings. They can be placed in a plate in the sanctuary, they can be mailed to the church, or offerings can be made on the church website, firstchurchnatick.org. Let's join our voices together in prayer. God of grace, we know you want justice rolling down like water. Accept these gifts from our hands, which we cast upon the waters of your love, a generous, ever-flowing stream, feeding the hungry and helping those in need. Accept these gifts for the work of your church. Amen. Please be seated. And following Carolyn's reading of the scripture, Ian's message or talk is entitled Environmental Discipleship.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 16 through 30. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I have kept all of these. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, then who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals, it is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Here ends the reading for today.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to thank Reverend Burr for inviting me to speak today. It's good to be here, and I'll begin with a little story. About 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, I came here, and what is now the Common Streets Spiritual Center was at that time the First Baptist Church, and I was told a story that when our current building was under construction in the 70s, the members of the First Baptist Church worshiped here at First Church. And today there's this continuation of that spirit of collaboration. Members of Common Street and I have had the pleasure to collaborate with many of you on climate change through Renewable Natick, and now Eco-Natick, on immigration rights and anti-racism. We've worked together on recovery, the Peace Flag movement, coffee with a purpose, and the list kind of goes on. So it's good to be here to get together today to worship and to pray and to encounter God's transforming word together. And as been mentioned, my theme today is environmental discipleship. If Jesus were a conventional religious leader, this sacred conversation in Matthew 19 would have been a lot easier for the rich young man. Jesus would have said, what good deed could you do? How about you make a donation to our discipleship support fund? And you're all good. We're good. Instead, the rich young man leaves grieving because Jesus basically says, look, I'm not here to ease your conscience. If you want to live a basic moral life, you don't need me. Just look in the Bible and follow the rules. But if you're really seeking something, I am offering you a transformational journey of discipleship. First, give away all your wealth to the poor, and then follow me. Now, Jesus didn't demand that all people give away their possessions, but he wasn't singling out this rich young man. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, Jesus is being followed by a whole crowd of people. Many are not fully committed to the path of discipleship, but they're kind of in his wake. So Jesus turns around and he thins them out and says, "You can't continue to follow me unless you're willing to risk your lives and give up all your possessions." And other great spiritual leaders of humanity, like Gautama Buddha and Saint Francis, also literally required their closest students to give up all of their possessions. Their common message is this: let go of worldly attachments and follow me on a path of transformation. In this community, as people who are socially and environmentally aware, we can't be in denial about the challenges that our world is facing, survival challenges, the climate catastrophe, species extinction at an accelerating rate. We can't deny this absurd and dehumanizing gap between the rich and poor. We can't deny the dominance of oppressive dynamics like racism and sexism. And we can't unsee the war and violence that's shredding the very fabric of our society, such as in the Ukraine, but also on our city streets and also in our homes. So if we're aware of all of this, and we're coming here today to speak with Jesus, we know that he isn't telling us to just live a conventional moral life and make a donation to a cause. Let's not confuse good enough with our highest potential. Jesus is calling us to step out of what is normal and join him on the path of co-creating with God the new world that is possible. Consider in your mind's eye a decent person who lives in the shadows of the societal structures that exist. A person who conforms to the status quo and doesn't question injustice, doesn't challenge our society's exploitation of people and planet. How can a decent person like this make a discernible difference in this world? Today, I want to make us aware that Jesus is inviting us to a level of discipleship that goes beyond a basic level of morality, beyond our conventional notions of what it means to be Christian or even what it means to be a good person in general. We're being invited to enter through a narrow gate. As Jesus says in Matthew 7, the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. The gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So today, I want to invite us to imagine how we can weave our lives through the eye of the needle of God's will. I know in the scripture the metaphor also includes a camel, you know, but let's imagine just the needle and thread. So we've got to thread ourselves into that little eye and then tie the string, and then the work of the weaving and the creating begins. And that tying, that is our commitment to discipleship. And in order to get in the needle's eye in the first place, we've got to let go of whatever is holding us back. We've got to let go of those extra coils of thread that wrap around us and make us too thick to fit through into the needle of God's will. But once we do it, and once we commit, then we become this needle in the hands of God. And we begin to do the repair work that God wants us to do. We begin to create what God wants us to create. We can become like the paint on God's brush. It's another metaphor. Kind of creating this new world, imagining it, putting it into practice. We can become the skin on God's drum, getting this new rhythm, getting this feeling of life, of moving in a life-sustaining direction. We can become like these dancing shoes on God's feet, you know, kind of like gracefully living and gracefully moving in this world. Basically, we could become part of God's creative work of healing and restoring this planet and of building a life-sustaining society. And I do want to mention that when you look at environmental discipleship and you look at some of the amazing leaders throughout the world, environmental justice activists truly are laying down their lives in the cause. It's actually one of the most dangerous occupations you could have in the world today, is to be the kind of environmentalist who might oppose a dam project or might oppose mining throughout the world. We're very protected in this country, but activists around the world are killed and they are put in prison and the key is thrown away. And we have to know and we have to deal with this sobering fact that in so many ways our world is really set on this path to destruction. And I think we need to feel that pain deeply. And we also need to know and have hope that all things are possible with God. The path to life, not only for ourselves, but for countless future generations, is set before us. Our highest potential is to be God's people on God's earth. This is our rightful place as human beings, made in the image and likeness of God. And it's not that we're bad people if we choose to stick with a conventional life. It is okay to be an ordinary, decent person. But if we want to be part of saving the world and living God's dream, then we must let go of our attachments to the world as we know it. Instead, we must attach ourselves to God and embark on the transformative and creative journey that lies ahead. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. I enjoyed the entire message. I particularly enjoyed or was touched by your words about we need to be part of God's creative work of healing in the world. Sarah Lynn, did you say you were going to get more, or this is?
There may be more.
Oh. Great. Do people have joys, concerns, or celebrations that they would like held before the congregation and on God's heart this morning? Then as we enter this time of prayer, I ask that you hold the people of Ukraine and the people of Russia on your hearts, both of whom will lose people, will have children die, will have property destroyed. In our praying this morning, hopefully, thankfully, our praying will bless the ministry of Ian and bless the ministry of the Common Street Spiritual Center and bless the acts of activism by activists throughout the world. We hold on our hearts Deb Evers, who's having respiratory trouble in Florida, and Alex Villarejo and his father, who is undergoing cancer treatment. Would you please join your heart with mine in prayer? Creator God, we can choose to live life differently. Inspire us as we make choices so that we will recognize the impact our lives have on our environment and our human family around the globe. Help us to remember that the gate is narrow and the road is hard, and you call us to let go of whatever is holding us back. Creator God, help us to move from the path of destruction to the path of life. Loving God, encourage us to be people of hope as we look forward in faith, knowing that we can build a world of justice and peace. Loving God, grant us the courage to move from the path of destruction to the path of life. Brilliant God, we can choose to live in a way that creates a better world for everyone. Help us to know that our individual actions are made in solidarity with our siblings in Ukraine, in Russia, in Santa Maria Zeha, and all around the world. Brilliant God, give us the courage to move from the path of destruction to the path of life. Wonderful God, you invite us to live simply, to live sustainably, and to live in solidarity with the poor. Help us to respond to that invitation with conviction and generosity. Wonderful God, grant us the courage to move from the path of destruction to the path of life. God of justice, listen to us as we pray this day. In the silence of our hearts, we place all our needs before you. God of grace and love, we bring you our prayers, commitment, and gifts to you this day. Let us who have a keen dedication and awareness of your creation and all that it brings to the human family have courage and conviction that are able to contribute to the sustainability of the earth. God of grace and love, grant us courage to move from the path to destruction to the path of life. Pour out your blessings upon us today. May each of our actions reveal our awareness that we are partners with you in the creation and sustainability of this earth that you have given to us to appreciate and enjoy. Grant us the courage to move from the path of destruction to the path of life. We pray these things, as we pray all things, in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, who taught us to pray. Earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, parent of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
The rich young man did not accept Jesus' invitation to discipleship, and this saddened him. But insofar as we do commit to follow Jesus, it brings us joy. As Jesus promised the disciples, there is great abundance and blessing and joy on the path of God. Amen.